did great philosophers have friends? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with The Absolute Philosopher. Did great philosophers have friends? Interesting, isn't it? Great philosophers write books. They have great ideas. They have impressive thinking, deep, wonderful thinking on great subjects. How the world was formed, what life's all about, where we are going, what's our purpose, and all that sort of good stuff. And these great philosophers were always having all of these exquisite thoughts in their mind. When they were ever quietly thinking by themselves, they were thinking into these rather deep concepts. But what did the great philosophers do when they were not thinking in deep concepts? Because there's 24 hours of the day. Some hours you sleep, some hours you play, some hours you work, and some hours... Okay. Now, what did they do? Well, what they did, they had a philosophy called me. And the philosophy called me that they had was a philosophy that was either desirable or not. Now, by desirable, we say it was something that created others wanting to be with them, wanting to talk to them, wanting to share with them. Now, what does a philosopher do? A philosopher lives what he believes. Now, everyone's a philosopher. Whether you're a big philosopher, a noted philosopher, or whether you're a kitchen philosopher, or whether you're a folk philosopher, or whether you're just a happy person by yourself, and that's your philosophy. That's all philosophies. That's all ways of thinking. Now, let's look at this great philosopher once again. And we can think of many great philosophers, and we don't need to give them any name, because right away, when we give them a name, we give them a time, and we give them a saying that we really don't know anything about them. But, for instance, what if your father was a philosopher? And he was. And he is. Now, what if your father is a philosopher? What sort of philosophy does your father have? Well, your father has a philosophy that we should love ourselves, and we should love our family, and we should love our community, and we should love our world, and we should love everything. Oh, come on now. What kind of a father is that who is so magnanimous as that, so wonderful, wanting to love everybody? That's very unusual. No, it's not. Because that's the kind of father that the majority of the humans on the face of the earth have. A father that loves its family. A father that cares about its world. A father that is looking for and finding in everything he does this simple word. He is finding peace. And because he finds peace within himself, because he likes himself, because he's cool, because he's a nice guy, his family like him very much. And his family are dedicated to him. His family think, what a great dad we got. And they seek to live by the philosophy that dad has. The philosophy of being loving, unconditionally loving. Yeah, dad is unconditionally loving. Oh, sometimes you get off base a little bit and you begin to be against something, and that's not being unconditionally loving. You begin thinking that some people are better than others, and that's not unconditionally loving. But if you get right down to the nitty-gritty of it, and you talk to the nitty-gritty father, you find the nitty-gritty father really likes everybody. The ideal father, the unconditionally loving father, is what every father really is, what every philosopher really is, unconditionally loving. Because if you were not unconditionally loving, you would have moments, many moments of unhappiness. You'd have many moments of judgment. You'd have many moments of possession. You'd have many moments where all the world doesn't do what you want it to do. But no, you, as a father, as a philosopher, are always thinking of wonderful things in the world to be. You're thinking of doing nice things for your family. You're thinking of doing nice things for yourself. You're thinking of doing nice things for your country. You're thinking of doing nice things for your church. You're thinking of doing nice things for your school. You're always thinking of doing nice things because this is your philosophy. Now, you can write books. And you can write books on philosophy and do all those things. But your real philosophy as a philosophy, a philosopher of who you are, is how you live every moment of every day. How do you live every moment of every day? I received an email from a young man in Africa, and the young man was a nice young fellow, and he had wanted to be with us, and he wanted to do things, but he didn't follow the rules. And the rules were that he had to play by my game, and he had to take the courses of the uni, and he had to do all those things, because that's what he agreed to do. And we went out of our way to make everything possible for him. And he didn't, and he didn't, and he didn't. But he continually listens to my talks. And he continually reads what he does have. And he continually lives his life. Now, we've known him, oh, a good 10 years. And now he is 37. So he must have been about 27 when we first knew him. And now he's writing to us as though we are his bosom buddies. We're his dearest friends, his dearest pals. He may not be taking the courses of the uni, but he's hearing what I believe and what I think and what I say in my daily talks. And he's hearing my philosophy. And he likes the philosophy. He likes what he hears. He likes this unconditional love that is being expressed. Now, he didn't follow through on the things he agreed to follow through on, and we sort of wrote him off a little bit as though the idea he really wasn't caring. But he really was caring however he could. He really was caring to the depth of whatever allowed his own personal self allowed him. And he still and always remained close to us as far as he could be by listening to us on the internet every day and by reading our materials. He knows what I think. He knows how I am. He knows who I am. And he likes my philosophy. He likes my philosophy, and quite likely, and this is a compliment to me and a compliment to him, quite likely he's practicing this philosophy that he is learning from us. This philosophy that he's learning from me as his father, you might say, how I share this with my family, my spiritual family, my personal family, my world. And he likes it. Oh, there are times there's a kink in there, but he lets that go. And he goes for the total philosophy. He goes for the total enjoyment. He knows that my philosophy is consistent at all times. He knows that I am unconditionally loving at all times. He knows this. And he wants to be a friend. And he keeps writing on Facebook, and he keeps writing on the emails. He wants to be my friend. He wants to be my friend. And sends me pictures of him and his world and his family and saying he wants to be my friend. Well, now, whenever I'm in contact with him, I always say, you are my friend. You are beloved. You are special. You are wonderful. I have only special, wonderful, beloved people in my world. If I have anyone in my world who is not beloved of me, I'm a liar. I'm not telling the truth. I'm inconsistent. But I always have everyone in my world who I love very dearly, very wonderfully. That's my philosophy. You have the right and the opportunity to know great philosophers. And the greatest philosopher that you will ever know, perhaps, is yourself. And if you will look at your philosophy and say, is my philosophy the type of philosophy I would like to really let people know about? Then it's good. Am I unconditionally loving? Am I thoughtful? Am I kind? Am I a wonderful person? Then that's great. Am I in any way, any time, anywhere unforgiving and loving? Then maybe I should rethink who I think I am. Because at all times, I give love, and at all times, love comes back to me in overflowing measure because I'm the kind of philosopher other people like to listen to and like to follow. And I follow my own philosophy. How about that? Have a lovely day and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.